Accession number 16576, Jim Miller, reel 5.
Mr. Miller, reel 5. We were talking about your time with the 2nd Battalion, DLI, out at Barrackpore in India, 32 onwards. And I wanted to ask if you could sort of do a typical day there for us. What time would you get up there in the morning?
Around about 6 o'clock, I think, yes. And life wasn't as strict in India as it was in England, soldiering. We still did guards.
How would the day start then? You get up at 6.
Yeah. And PT. Oh, PT.
You still had PT then?
Yeah, oh yeah, still did that, yeah. And well, there wasn't much to do.
What about breakfast? What would you get for breakfast?
Well, there was porridge and...
Was it English food?
Oh yeah. But we had we had Indian cooks, Babajis, they called them, the Babajis. They used to cook for us, and we had proper meals.
But not Indian food; it was English food prepared by Indians.
Oh, curry! Oh, we used to get curry. I loved that.
What did you think? I mean, that wasn't. I mean, it's common now, but it wasn't common then, was it? What did you think of curry?
Oh, I loved it the way they did. I mean, this was proper curry. There was what they call the tops and bottoms. The bottoms was all the meat and everything, and the tops was just, yeah, the curry soup, like, you know. I always went for the curry bottoms, because, you know, pardon me, oh, yes, they were, oh, yeah, we were great, I loved it. Well, practically all the men had curry. Oh, yeah.
Would that be at lunch?
Yeah. Yeah.
So how would you spend the morning when you were in the machine gun company? What would your morning's routine be?
Do a bit of training. It was quite an easy life. It was mostly guard mounting. And
tell me about the guard mount, because you won the stick twice, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Tell us about the stick then, and how you mounted guard, and what it all meant.
Well then, you were detailed for guard duties, and we had shorts on, you know, and we had a leather belt with two pouches for ammunition, a rifle, everything had to be spick and span, and we had our helmets. I've got pictures here, like, of how we were dressed and that. And the quartermaster, the quartermaster I worked with, Pearson, he was RSM then. He was formerly the regimental sergeant major. Pearson was his name, Ozzy Pearson. And he was strict. He was. He was, yeah. An ex-miner. And he spoke with a real Geordie accent. Well, we'd start guard mounting. Well, we had to line up and get an inspection by the officer. Like, what was going to be the officer for that day. And the smartest soldier... You pick him out, you see. Well, you had to fix bayonets and unfix bayonets and all that, you see. And Ozzy Pearson, he was very strict. Fix bayonets, as you were, you know. Oh, my God, he's doing it half a dozen times like that, you know. Anyway, the smartest bloke or whatever it was would be picked out. He had to remain standing while the others marched off to do the guard mounting, which was 2 hours on guard and 4 hours off guard. They didn't turn, it's like that. 24-hour guard it was. And the stick man, he would go to the battalion HQ, and he used to run messages. He had a big thick stick, you know. He was the stick man, you know. And they used to run messages for the CO and others, like, you know. But you had a night in bed. That was the main thing. You're in bed.
So was there a lot of competition to win this, then?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, the first time I got the stick, mostly everything was borrowed. It was. The chaps used to borrow some of them. You know, if you got the right size boot, size 7, your mate had a bit of polish on what you had, you've already. there was. And I remember being on, well, I wasn't on guard, like, but there was a chap called Chalky White, that was his name, Chalky White. He was in Inkerman's squad. He was only as tall as me, and in those days we could go down the town into Calcutta and that places with what you call white patrol uniforms on. You had white patrol. And Chalky had gone out and he'd had a few drinks down the town. Well, at a certain time, or different times, the visiting rounds would come round, which was the officer for the duty of the day. And the guard on duty, when he saw the visiting rounds, he'd say, "Halt! Who goes there?" Visiting rounds. Advanced visiting rounds would be recognised. I think that, you know, there was something. Stand fast, visiting rounds. Go, turn out! And, you know, all the guard would turn out. Well, Chalky White, he'd had a few drinks, he was dressed in his white patrols, and the chap on guard couldn't recognise Chalky. And he's told to halt, because he had to go to the guard room to check in, see, been out. And he said he was visiting rounds. And he wasn't. He was only a private soldier. And he turned the guard out. I think he got 56 days in the car. Yeah. Little Chalky, I wonder where that. There he's going. There they are. Funny things like that.
So, what other duties might you have in the morning? I mean, when you were in the machine gun, you do a bit of training, you said. That would be the same as in England, would it?
Yeah, practice. Not a lot. Because in the afternoon it was very hot.
What would you, if you weren't doing that in the morning, would you be doing anything?
Listening to gramophone records or something, or playing mahjong.
What's mahjong? The game?
Chinese game, yeah.
Was that popular then?
Wasn't, yeah. In our battalion it was. Mahjong. It's like playing rummy.
You know, did you play for money? Oh, I know you weren't supposed to, but did you?
Yeah. Many a time the regimental police, because we had regimental police as well, you know, they'd come and nab some of the lads, maybe. You know, and there was tales of if chaps had been for a drink in what they call a wet canteen coming out at night, and there wasn't many defaulters to do the odd jobs around about the barracks, the regimental police used to trip the lads up coming out of the wet canteen and say they were drunk.
Life. What about the afternoon? You say that was hot. Would you have that off?
We went to bed. We laid down.
Literally?
Oh, yes, yeah. One of the chaps, they were on guard, of course. They had to stick it out and other little jobs that was going on.
How, I mean, was it really that hot that you couldn't keep going? I mean, how did you...
Oh, yeah, sweat. Yeah. You used to lie no beds with nothing on. Stripping out naked. And this bunker's going. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you find the heat a problem? I mean, generally, yourself?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
So, you'd have a lie down. Yeah. How many hours are we talking here? Is it just an hour or two, or is it the whole afternoon?
All afternoon. I'm trying to think. As I say, we didn't do very much. Football was not a sport.
I'll come to sport. Yeah. Wasn't that a bit boring? I mean, did you feel sleepy? I mean, just lying there for 3 or 4 hours, nothing else to do. Was that a problem for you?
Yeah, we got used to it. Idle.
So you finished that, you got up again, and what would happen then?
Just have a walk around the barracks or something. Yeah.
There don't seem to be many military duties.
No, actually there wasn't, actually, in a way.
When would you play the sport then? Would that be after this?
There was football, there was hockey.
But when? When in the day?
In the evening. In the evening. When it was cooler. And then there was different companies. They used to go to different places as well, outside of Barrackpore.
I'll come to... So your sport then, what? Your football and hockey, were they the two you played, or did everyone...
Yeah, it was cricket. is rugby. Yeah, they played all kinds of sports.
Who would they play? Who did you play?
Companies between themselves. And oh yes, there was different battalions used to play football with one another, and the different battalions used to box. We had boxing champions. I got a picture of my mate. He lives in Wolverhampton, and he was in the King Shropshire Light Infantry. And I met Mickey Dunn is his name. He's still alive. And I met him in 1935 in Bombay. Now all the Bombay that year, the All India Boxing Championships was held at Bombay, you see. And them lads from different regiments, they were attached to headquarters, our battalion, because I was in the HQ wing then, storekeeper.
I'll come to that, but yeah. Carry on with this story then.
And all them sports were there. And
Did you get into any of the company or battalion teams?
Oh, I played for the company team.
At football?
Yeah, I didn't get any either, but.
And what about boxing? You boxed the company as well, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, the first time I ever did any boxing was up at a place called Libong in Assam, near Darjeeling. We were stationed up there, where the big tea plantations was, and I was picked to box. There was another two regiments in that area, I forget them. And the first fellow I met, I knocked him out. I'd never knocked a man out in my life. And then I had to meet another fellow, and he was taller than me. Well, he'd seen me knock the other chap out from another regiment. He kept away from me. It was funny. I'm not bragging, but I did. And I won both in fights, and all I got was a little medal. That was boxing for the company. I love boxing.
And then, so, you got your sport. Was the sport compulsory or voluntary?
Voluntary.
Did some men not do it then?
Some didn't go in for anything.
What would they do otherwise in the evening? Or what did you do when you weren't playing football, say, or boxing?
Well, I might go into the billiard hall. Oh, there was billiards, there's tables, snooker. Well, the game of snooker was first born in India by Chamberlain's father. You know Chamberlain, his father, because he used to play billiards, and then he organised this game of snooker. And now look where it is now. They play for me.
What about the canteens? What did they offer? In the evening, I mean, there's a dry one and a wet one from the sound.
Yeah, there was dry.
The dry one. What would the dry one have?
Well, just sandwiches and cups of tea, like, you know.
Did you go to that one much?
Well, I made puppy with the lads and have a cup of tea. Well, lemonade as well. There was cold drinks. We have a lot of cold drinks. I mean, winter was hot, you know, we were really drunk at like.
What? Would you go to the wet canteen usually?
Well, occasionally not often. I wasn't a boozer.
So it sounds like neither of the canteens were your cup of tea, but you didn't.
Well, I used to probably have felt like it, you know. The lads do say, come on, Dusty, you know, have a drink.
What about, what else was there to do? Anything else?
Nothing much.
Could you go into
We had an alarm once, the alarm went about 3 o'clock in the morning. It's supposed to have been a riot in Calcutta. And we all got ready as fast as we could, everything going. We didn't take any machine guns, we took our rifles. Oh, rifles. I left me Webley back in the barracks. And we had to march to Calcutta. It was 10 miles away. You know, 3 o'clock in the morning started off. And you went to sleep marching. You know, and I landed up in another company, Air Company, I think it was. Just passing, marching, and I flopped down. When we got to on the outskirts of Calcutta, we had two rests, I think, of about 10 minutes marching. Because it was a hurried march; it wasn't just as you know. It was you know, and it was it wasn't a real riot, of course. It was just to get you know to march.
It was a just a training exercise.
That's right, and there was a big loud as sound, and when we stopped, and I flopped down on it. I was asleep. And when we woke up, we all woke her up, I couldn't find my rifle. And, oh my God. And with me lying and turning over, the line had got it, the rifle had got into the sand. I found it. I'd have been court martialed, wouldn't I? I found it, and it was covered in sand, but I got it cleaned up. In fact, the bullet wouldn't have blinded anybody. It would have been the sand in the battle.
were you ever allowed out into the Indian area, either a Barrackpore town or out to Calcutta?
Yeah. Well, we were allowed out, but you had to be back barracks at a certain time. In fact, I've still got me pass. I've still got me pass from them days.
And what would you do if you went into, say, Barrackpore?
If I were?
If you went into Barrackpore, what would you do then?
Well, it was only a village. There wasn't much.
Was there a town you could visit?
No, it wasn't a town. It was just the name Barrackpore. There was a cooling tower there or whatever. But no, it was just a village. It wasn't a town.
No, but was there a local town you could visit?
No, we used to. Most lads used to go to Calcutta. You had to get a taxi and go to Calcutta.
Did you do that?
Yeah.
And what was that like?
We used to go to the markets and buy a vest and, anything like that. We were at Calcutta. No, we got stationed there, our company. Fort William. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So when you went, were you warned about VD and brothels and things?
No, I never went to one. I never was in one.
No, but were you warned about it?
Oh, yeah, they used to, when chaps were going to Colin, well, they used to give them condoms, or they called them French letters, never danced like. No, never bothered me. There was too much VD. Oh, there was not a VD. Oh, dear God.
Within the battalion?
Some of them, yeah. There was a regiment, when we left Bombay, later got to Khartoum, there was a regiment took over, they'd come from Hong Kong. And half the I forget what the battalion, I think it was like a few years later, but half the battalion had VD. There was hell out about it. That was in 1935, 1936.
How did you get on with the Indians, the Wallers and the people in the town?
Oh, all right. We had our own Indians. I've got pictures of them. Called them followers. They used to do all the work, sweeping up, cleaning up, washing.
Like your own servant?
Hmm?
Your own servant?
Yeah, well, I had my own servant. I had mine when I was in the stores. He used to, a cup of tea. He used to, clean that, because I been in the stores, you see, I had my own little cabin.
Would you have that when you were in the machine gun company? Would you have your own?
Oh, no.
So not every bloke, not every soldier would have one?
No.
So, I mean,
I used to give a rupee every week.
Did the average British Tommy treat the Indians well, would you say, or not?
Well, I think so. Well, they had to. I mean, if there was a case of one, a charwalla, somebody kicked him in the stomach. Yeah, he wouldn't pay his debt. Well, the charwalla, he accused this fella of bashing him about, and he's all cut and bruises and everything. Well, the tale was what they used to do, the Indian would get his mates to cut him up, and things like that. Well, this lad, it was his own fault, if he did it, the Indian. Well, that was it. It's a court martial. Oh, there were things happening like that. Yeah. When I used to go to Bombay, I could go to Bombay when I was in Bombay. Kalaba Barracks in Bombay.
What time would your day end then? If you didn't go, had to be back in the barracks, played your sport, been to the canteen, perhaps. What time would the day?
About 10 o'clock at night. We were in bed, sleeping hard, nearly gone.
So there's quite a lot of sleep there, 10 till 6 in the morning, and then 3 or 4 hours in the afternoon.
Yeah, there wasn't much, not much to do, like, in that sense.
Now, one thing about the life in India that people have commented on is that some soldiers had a lot of trouble with it, and there were a lot of suicides, and some people went what they called doolally tap.
As regards suicides, yes, we did have one lad. He drowned himself on purpose. I forget his name now, but he did around about 1934, it must have been.
And what had caused it? What was wrong with him?
I don't know. He just, I don't know. He's maybe, I don't know. But Doolally? Doolally?
Doolally Tap.
Doolally. I tell you. Well, when we moved from Barrackpore to go to Bombay, Doolally wasn't very far away. Now, this Doolally Tap business, it's a lot of bunkum, I tell you. Our company, day company, went to Doolally. It's it was a recuperation station, actually. You know, anybody was ill, like. And there was a Parsi burning temple there. I've got pictures of that, like. The Parsis, they're the richest people in India. They come from Persia, originally. They're very rich. Very well educated. And their bodies, they were put on top of this building. And the vultures used to, I mean, when the bodies were dead, the vultures used to eat, you know, kill them. Well, Doolally, it wasn't the tap. The Doolally tap was, say, 100 years ago, in the days of Clive of India. Soldiers leaving India to come back home. Any soldier that was ill or looked ill, he was kept back for treatment. We weren't allowed on. There was a colour sergeant of a company. The colour sergeant's the one that looks after the wives and all that. He'd have some tar in a bucket. Long stick with something on the end. Cotton wool, I don't know what they cotton wool. And any soldier embarking for home, if he looked ill, he got a tap on the shoulder with a tar. Right? To say he was ill, he had to get back. That's the Doolally tap. Nothing to do with the Goro the bunker. We were in Doolally, and
I'll come on to it. Was there much of a problem with soldiers having meant trouble, as far as you were concerned? The boredom didn't get to them then?
Not a darn no.
Did you find it boring?
Boring? No. In a way, well, it did get on a bit later in years. But Bombay was very nice.
How long were you at Barrackpore then? When did you leave Barrackpore? Because I thought you said you were detached duty as a company from Barrackpore a couple
yeah,
of
well,
times.
Yeah, well, different companies used to leave Barrackpore. There was Ishapore, Midnapore. Now, Midnapore was Ishapore was a rifle factory. They made rifles there. And you'd have a company go there, guarding that rifle factory, and that was very frightening. It's pitch dark at night time, you're on your own there, on different places, and maybe the monkeys would be, you know, every little noise made you. Then the visiting round used to come round, and there was Indians there as well. They were like guardians, you know, and every now and then they'd shout, like 12 o'clock and all's well, you know, they used to have this shout. Yeah, Ishapore got a picture of that, didn't there? There was Jaffapore. Sometimes I used to wonder why we used to go to these places. You know.
Was your company then known as D Company rather than the Machine Gun Company?
It was S Company then, I think. S Company. Support Company.
And you were in that?
Yes, I was in S. Yes, all the way through. All through my soldiering. Right up when I was finished, I was still a machine gunner. Although I was a storekeeper as well. It's holding my records there.
So, what about these other places you visit? Anything come to mind about any of them?
Libong. That was near Darjeeling. Assam. We were stationed up there.
That's quite a way away, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. We used to get up there with the Darjeeling Highland Railway. I've got pictures of that and all. And it used to go round and round up the mountains. It was a glorious sight. Up into the Himalayas, you know, the Himalayas, catching jungle. snow there. Oh, it was fantastic. And this railway, it was designed by a woman, a railway, you know, many years ago. And a chap used to sit in front of the engine throwing sand on the line so that the rails could get a grip. It used to go up and the back carriage would be sometimes underneath the engine. You know, we're going Darjeeling Island Railway.
Was this the whole company would go up to?
Yeah.
Or the whole regiment? Company, yeah.
And go up there, and we used to make trips. We used to go to Darjeeling as well, you know, for a night out. You know, afternoon out, and it was great.
What were you doing at Le Bon? Guarding what?
Guarding. That's all I know. We used to do, you know, what. And there was a race course there years ago. A race course had been built in the mountains. And you used to get top jockeys. They used to ride little ponies. You know, top jockeys used to get up there. There was a tout there, you know. Well, Sir John Anderson, he wanted to be at the Anderson Shelters. He was up there. He was Governor General of Bengal then. This is Bengal. And he was up in Le Bon with his two daughters. And he was watching the race. You know, the race was with his aide. And an Indian came up and fired a shot at him. Did they call him decoy to Robert. Anyway, he fired at him, tried to kill him. And he was such a bad shot, he hit his head in the ankle, with the bullet. Of course, the bugle sounded the alarms, everybody dashing all over the place. Yeah, there was things like that. And we just got to Darjeeling, and there was a cinema there. And it was very nice, Darjeeling. The tea planters were there when we were at Le Bon. And there were white men that weren't allowed to marry. So this is the tales I heard. I mean, you know. But they could have a woman. And if a child was born, that child was taken to St. Joseph's College in Darjeeling to be brought up. It was like an orphanage thing, you know. But they were looked after. Yeah. And these chaps, tea planters, they used to signal a lot and ask for news on the, what the devil they called the flash thing, I don't know.
Heliograph.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And Friday was what you call a bugging night. We had to take our beds out, firing at the bugs. Oh, God. Some of them bugs went to the Sudan. The bottom of the kid bags. Yeah. God, that bugs are terrible.
What were they? Were they just lice or were they... What were they?
Or bugs used to suck your blood. They were bed bugs. And could I jump and talk about Fort William? Can we go to Fort William and Calcutta?
Well, Fort William.
Well... We had to, our company once had to, the KRRs, the King's Royal Rifle Corps were there, well, they went on over somewhere, and we had to, our company had to take the barracks over. And Clive was there. There were his barracks in Calcutta. And we laid our beds out one night, nice white sheets, everything. And we went out for the night, and... when we come back, because we only had oil lamps, you know. And I looked at my bed, it was black. And I said, I've been messing around here, you know. And when I put me on the bugs, the heat of the lamps that brought all the bugs, oh my God, dear, bugs.
That many?
Oh, dear, rotten. It's terrible bugs in India, the bed bugs. Well, what they were doing up there, but... Although they might have come out the beds, I don't know, but it says it would be dropping from the rafters. Oh, yeah. And that's where the Black Owl of Calcutta was. That's a post office. There's a plaque on the wall, that's a post office, that is. The Black Owl of Calcutta. And, oh dear, the things. Anyway.